Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
Hey, Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Ready for finals footy.
Woo! Certainly ready for finals football. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We're week one of the NRL finals series. Four games, obviously. Eight teams, four games. Whittles down to six because we've, unfortunately, we lose sort of two teams, which sort of happens when you play elimination games. And when we get to those games, goddamn, you could tell they were elimination games too.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, finals footy was definitely about, and it just brings out a different, you know, it's a different nature, it's a different beast, you know, in players, in teams, and your big name, well, yeah, I guess for a lot of the weekend, your big name players stood up.
Yeah, funny you say that, because we'll get into the first game. The first game was a Friday game, which was supposed to be, I mean, on paper, a perler between the Storm and the Seagulls. But
oh, look, I thought this was up. I told you, I said this is upset alert. This could be if you were going to be Melbourne, you could be a little bit worried. And worry me not. Like, it just,
well, again, as Melbourne showed, I mean, the score ended up being 40-12. Like, I know we use this word over and over again for Melbourne, but my God, they were clinical in this
clinical
game.
That's what I've got written down right here, clinical.
You two are big words. In every facet. I mean, every single facet.
The clinical, position, professional, just know how to get the job done. And then by the end of it, they were just totally and utterly demoralizing the Seagulls.
It wasn't even like, you know, completion rate of 90% was great, 34 for 39. What was more perplexing to me was their 61% possession rate over a Manly side.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Manly could not get a hold of the ball. And I thought it was bad enough in the first half where you'd seen 43% of the ball Manly had. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of bad, but that should turn around, right? And it got worse in the second half.
It got worse in the second half.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I mean, the glaring thing that happened in this game was that they were able to, you know, effectively rub out Tom Dravojevic. You know, yeah, okay, he did 150 meters for 15 runs, but which is, you know, in the team was the most run meters, but for him, that's not really good at all.
But even that's deceiving. Like, you could go, you could look at a fullback and go, oh, yeah, 15 runs for 150 meters. That's a pretty, you know, admirable return, but not for somebody who's just in the absolute devastating form that Tom Trbojevic is in, and what he's been doing over the last, you know, since the Origin break, before the Origin break, during the Origin. He's just, when he's on the field, he's near unstoppable, and Melbourne squashed him.
They nullified him big time.
Well, they didn't give Manly's forwards to any space. So no. The simplest of game plans. You nullify any team's forwards, then your playmakers, your halves, your fullback, your dummy half, they're all going to struggle. And they all struggle. Well, in every facet, Manly. You didn't get much out of Kieran Foran. It was almost too much of a mountain to climb for Cherry Evans himself to try and, you know, dig the team out of this hole. Trbojevic, supposedly in the second half, had four runs for 25 meters. Like, that's just coming off what the Fox commentary said. Unbelievable. Like, mistakes that were made by the Seagulls were devastating, and Melbourne made them pay dearly for those. Like, two Morgan Harper, simple mistakes, just simple drop balls, not cleaning them up, led to Melbourne tries. One in the first half, one in the second half.
Yep. That's exactly right. And that's the way, I guess, sort of Melbourne, yeah, like, okay, you can capitalize on mistakes, but they really did capitalize. I just.
Oh, and they bombarded the left-hand side attack.
Their game plan was just
it was unreal how relentless they were, just going down that left, you know, Manly's right side defense.
Morgan.
That's Morgan Harper.
Yeah.
That's Jason Saab.
Yeah, Jason Saab, Morgan Harper. Jason Saab, can tend to look a little bit lost in sort of starting defense. I don't know what to think of him, kind of thing, in attack or defense, if you know what I mean. And clearly they must have seen a glaring weakness.
They've seen it there because he's beaten out the likes of somebody like Moses Suli who's a bit of a hybrid sort of, you know, second roller slash center. So, you know, he's probably the right size for this day and age second rower. And he's a big center, but he's still got a decent motor on him and is a good attacking player. But he's beaten him out. Don't forget, we haven't seen George Tafua basically this whole year. And a reason why guys like Ruben Garrick and Jason Saab have been allowed to shine because George Tafua has been a fairly big mainstay on the wing for Manly. He's not there now, so they've got these guys there and they're doing their job well. But they just got crushed.
They did. I mean, it's as simple as it sounds, they got crushed. I mean, Ryan Pappenhausen is just back to his Ryan Papperson form, coming perfectly into the final series. I mean, he was electric with his sort of two tries, and I'm glad. I mean, obviously, Nico Hines only playing 20 minutes. He sort of plays sporadically in a lot of positions, actually, but I'm glad Pappenhausen sort of fixed his kicking game because that's helped. He got 5 out of 6, even though he's still got a weird kicking style. It still helps. So
you're
right. What do you think? I mean, I suppose they're probably easing him into it, but what do you – this is big Nelson Asofa Solomona. Do you like him coming off the bench? He only played half a game.
I mean, you're only going to get 40, you know, maybe 40 quality minutes out of him anyway. So,
yeah,
you know, if you've got the likes of representative players up front in Jesse Bromwich and Christian Welch anyway, so if you can bring on, you know, the likes of Kama Kamita and Nelson Asofa Solomona off the bench, like that's a nice luxury to have, because they're two pretty good bench forwards to bring off.
And Harry Grant and Nico Hines, that's their bench.
It's ridiculous. An embarrassment of riches.
He probably could play some sort of what Fifita has been doing for the Titans, so to speak, where you don't have
Fifita. Bit different. Comes on in the 25th minute, but doesn't go back off.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, they can sort of squeeze a little bit more, you know, a little bit more juice out of that orange. But I'm not sure how somebody like Nelson Asofa Solomona would go in, you know, trying to get out 50, 55, 60 minutes. You know, that might gas him a little bit too much.
Oh my God, he's so big. He's absolutely
a monster.
He's a monster. So Manly get another second chance. They'll regroup. They've got the Roosters, which we'll talk about, I guess, the other games coming up.
What did you think about Lumi's little shocker Manly had a 20-meter dropout. 20-meter restart. They decided to go for the kick, and not a bad option, and basically led to that second Jason Saab try to sort of get, I guess, Melbourne. Get to Manly, you know, a little bit back in the contest at like 30-12.
Yeah, it was perplexing. It's probably the only word I could sort of think about it. It was I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, it was clear it was a terrible error, obviously. So, yeah, good win by Melbourne. Good win by Melbourne. So they'll have the week off. And, yeah, look, clinical, it's Melbourne.
A deserved week off, as they generally seem to get, you know, around this time of year when you finish, you know, sort of first or second, you know, pretty much every year.
And the great thing for them, I mean, obviously they want to go back to Melbourne, but the great thing is this game was played in the Sunshine Coast. That's where they're based. So they ain't moving much. So they're, you know, a lot more prep time, a lot more relaxing kind of thing, which is good. That's probably, you know, helped them last year, I would suspect. I would dare
suspect. Yeah, no, that's like you said, yeah, that's their base.
They're a very tight-knit group. Very tight-knit group.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Kind of sucks when Addo Carr's leaving, but that, you know, money in pastures. So
and Hines, like, that's just what you get. That's just what successful teams have to deal with.
That's unfortunately what you have to deal with Melbourne. So I'll tell you something about Melbourne at the end of this that we were talking about on the weekend that we found out that actually Melbourne do. That's very interesting. Actually, people would love to hear what they actually do when they try to find players. It's very interesting because this guy that told me is now sort of connected to Mekhi Cutter, so the feeder club for the Cowboys. And he knows what they sort of do. So recruiting and all that. It's insane what Melbourne do. You can see why they are where they are, basically. So, if you're an NFL fan, you'll like it too. That's what I mean. It's very detailed of what they do. We'll move on to the other game. So the first Saturday game was the Roosters. Oh my God. Look, Roosters did beat the Titans 25-24, but God, you know, as this, you were at this game. This game was great. This game, the atmosphere was good. It started off slow, but once it got into it,
did anybody want to win this game? Did anybody want to win it?
Didn't feel like it.
It was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Like the game plan, I guess, early from what I could sort of see for the Gold Coast anyway, was to try and shift the ball early in the tackle count, to try and get the ball out wide, just to sort of get that lateral movement and try and work some of the Roosters' big boys over, and it seemed to do all right. It didn't really sort of show on the scoreboard because both teams were just making some horrendous errors.
Yeah.
And they couldn't each team couldn't really capitalize on those errors until sort of, I guess, midway into the first half. You know, finally get the first score with the Matty Cavallo try over in that sort of right hand corner. And it just, oh man, it, you know, like basically, even with Peachy being sin bin so early in the game as well, which I thought was contentious to say the least. Like, yes, I guess you could sort of say it was a professional foul, but I mean, yeah, I didn't really sort of like it too much, but you know, it is what it is.
You're right. And they didn't capitalize on that. That whole 10 minutes that he was off, they didn't capitalize on that, which is very, then it kind of went to me, you know, once he was off. And just for the record, yeah, it could have been 50-50 again, but unfortunately when they say it's professional foul, that's a sin bin.
Oh, man, that's right. And that's mean. It was Victor Radley he pulled back. I think it was Radley that he pulled back. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was a try scoring opportunity. So, you know, it didn't warrant a penalty try, which, you know, basically what happened in that Parramatta Newcastle game, which basically decided the game. Towards the end of that, but this one wasn't really as clear cut as that. But being there and sort of watching the replay afterwards, like being there, I wasn't really impressed with the call to start with. But you can sort of see how they came to that. But mm-hmm. being so early in the game, you're like, oh man, it was like the 9th or 10th minute. You're like, oh my God, like this is just not going to be, the Gold Coast afternoon. But yeah, they seem to sort of, I guess, each team, you know, traded. It was just a funny thing that why the Roosters wouldn't continue to put the pressure on. Like, you know, you've just got somebody sent to the bin. I get it. It's only early in the game and players should still be fresh. They opted to take the 2 points. They opted to take the penalty rather than sort of, you know, continue to try and bomb the Titans line just to try and tire them out. I just found that an odd choice to take the two there.
It was an extremely odd choice because, as I sort of said, they didn't capitalize at all. You know, they didn't capitalize literally until they sort of come back on and they got that first try through Ikavalu. So,
well, it's a funny thing as well. Like, you know, the next time that the Gold Coast were down the other end of the field, they got a penalty basically right in front, and it was a no-brainer to A, burn more clock, and to B, to take the 2 points,
to
level it up at 2-2.
Exactly. I kind of thought then, obviously, when he come back on, PG, I thought, okay, well, the Titans are up for this. You know, they've kept him out, and then obviously they had that sort of try pretty much straight after. And then so, I guess sort of in quick succession, not too long after, was the Tedesco try as well. But they seemed up for it. I mean, even, you know, coming into sort of halftime where they put a try on.
The Tedesco try too also came off a no try to the Gold Coast, but down the other end, and that happened right in front of us. And all it was just a simple, you know, I guess sort of decoy play where David Fifita, according to the bunker, caught the ball on the inside shoulder of the decoy runner, which, A, I'm not so sure about that. He looked like to me directly behind them, but directly behind them by about 6 or 7 meters. So he's a long way behind the decoy runner. Mm-hmm. B, the decoy runner that goes through the line doesn't impede Hutchison at all. Hutchison still just continues to run through his line, and it doesn't impede. He doesn't stop in the line. You don't see him make a decision to take the decoy runner. He continues to run through because they know the threat is David Fifita, and they took the try off him. Four tackles later, the Roosters go 80-odd metres. And that's the Tedesco try. It's just such a massive momentum swing. And I really thought that would have sort of shattered the Gold Coast a little bit. And they got the try right on halftime. And I thought they would have been pretty happy going into the sheds at 12-6.
It's such a gray area. Like it's funny.
Oh, it is. It's a super gray area, but when I look at it, you try and simplify it a little bit. And okay, yes, they want to say that you catch it on the inside shoulder. Okay, that's fair enough. He caught it behind the decoy runner, fairly deep behind the decoy runner, and the decoy runner doesn't impede the defender at the line of defense. So where's the reason to take the try away?
It's such a weird thing. It feels like you've just got to literally, you know, if they literally touch you, and I mean just literally touch you, then that's obstruction.
Exactly. I'll say it to him blue in the face. You can't go through the line of defense and hit a defender. You simply cannot do that.
It didn't happen. What I'm saying is you could literally put your hand out and touch them, and they class that as obstruction.
All they've got to do is flop to the ground, or all they've got to do is to make the tiniest little hesitation, and smart players will do that, make that little bit of hesitation, and that's all the bunker needs.
They didn't touch them, but they still obstructed them. That's what I mean. It's such a gray area. Technically, they still obstructed them, but
I just didn't think this met the criteria, and, you know, maybe I might have had maybe a little bit of one-eyed towards that. I just didn't see why they took the try off them, because there's no defender impeded.
Again, from what I could see as well, but you've probably seen sort of different. I mean, they all, you know, the dangerous tackle by Kevin Proctor didn't help as well, because that sort of got on down there.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, yeah, exactly. But, and he's dirty on himself. You know, he's a co-captain there, and he's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, he does. Like I said, it was a fairly sort of back and forth, I mean, game. Like the Titans were definitely well in this game. I mean,
just
imagining
the mistakes. Imagining, my God, even the start of the second half, the second tackle that the Gold Coast had, and Big Tino drops the ball, and it instantly cost them 6 points. Instantly. Yeah. And yeah, you're just like, oh, my God, like, you know, they would have been so happy, like I said, going into the Sheds at 12-6. And then you come out and one of your big name signings on the second tackle of the second half, and he spills the ball, and to compound it, waste their challenge, which was just nonsensical.
That was a dumb review. I mean, oh, obviously, Tino was feeling it, but, yeah, no, that was a dumb review. I can't remember which commentator said it, but that's what they've always said. Don't let forwards tell you to challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Do a captain's challenge, because I had no idea what they're talking about.
No, it was crazy. It was such a waste.
Look, overall, it was just a good game. There was a couple of points. Obviously, this is towards the end, unfortunately, of it. Not so much the 1 point from young Sam Walker, but...
Oh, cool as a cucumber, that young man.
He is. Why?
Okay, fair enough. Too. He'd literally been on the field for what? 3 minutes? 4 minutes? So
that's my question. Why? Why? You know, are they? What is the reasoning? Because I haven't seen anything, and there's no reasoning. Like, I'm trying to work out the reasoning of why they're only using him in the last 10 minutes. It doesn't make sense. It's just it's unusual. You know, because
to have a halfback come off.
Sorry, I was going to say he was supposed to be like, you know, he is probably a future Queensland halfback, but he's still coming. Even next week, he's still coming off the bench. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you thought about it. I mean, again, he's cool as calm, collected. He slotted it over. I just don't know, you know, why he's not starting seven.
I think possibly with the help of some of Wayne Bennett's nemesis at the moment, in a couple of blockers in front of Sam Walker as well, which Wayne Bennett and Ivan Cleary have been going, I think, a little bit heavily back and forth on the use of illegal blockers. But you have a look at the replay, and this is something that you don't pick up on at the game. But yeah, you sort of see there's two Roosters players out in front of the play to sort of give Walker a bit more of a clear shot. And, you know, it shouldn't really have to be that way. But, you know, Peachy was the one that sort of come through. I think he come out of marker, and he's got to run around two players. He should be able to have, you know, an absolute beeline, you know, a straight line for him to run at. As long as he's square at marker and he's not pinged for that.
The technical rule,
within his rights to be able to run at the kicker.
Correct. But the technical rule, because I looked this up, because obviously the popcorn of Bennett and Cleary was awesome. The technical rule is if the blockers are behind the dummy half play, they can technically stand there. There is no...
They weren't behind the dummy half, though, were they?
Oh, I thought they were. When I looked at it, I'd have to
double check it. They were in front of the play the ball.
I'm sure they were behind the play the ball. I'm definitely sure they were behind the play the ball, because that is a technical rule. Because, you know, technically they're offside. Not offside, and then, you know, because they're on offense. But technically... It's an obstruction technically, but
that's the ruling behind it. It comes up as an obstruction. Especially if a defender is impeded.
Well, I'd have to another double check, but I thought they were behind the play of the ball. I mean, it doesn't matter where they stand, and that's unfortunately you got to sort of run. You know, it is a war. Peachy's got to sort of run around, but they had a chance to finish this game.
Don't.
Well, I have to, because I can't
Like the stadium, like when Bo Fermer made that break down the left-hand side, and it was just like, holy crap, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to do this? Like, this is unbelievable. The stadium just absolutely erupted when he goes down the left-hand side. And, you know, as sort of time's ticking away, and it just became an absolute mad scramble for the Roosters. And as they swung the ball over to the right, and was it the wrong decision by Patrick Herbert to take on the defenders? Probably. But once again, it's finals footy, and it just does things to people. It doesn't make you think clearly.
I guarantee, so my three things actually from that. So the first thing is I guarantee he's in his head, like you said, because of finals.
I can get there.
I have white line fever. I can get there.
I'm going to be the hero.
So clearly that was going through his head. Now, which one would have been the better option, which is a perplexing thing, because seeing the replay, you can't blame Corey Thompson sort of not being where he was in position, even though it was a remarkable flick out, you know, to a winger if he was technically there.
I think Thompson was a little flat.
It wasn't even the taking on. He could have taken him on, but he should have seen Fifita coming on the inside. That was the biggest thing. Fifita coming on the inside.
Everybody is scrambling the one way.
Oh, my God.
And you have the inside ball. Everyone goes straight past Fifita. And he's got a straight line. But that's the thing. Whether or not he was calling for the ball, whether or not Patrick Herbert heard it. Yeah. I think the easier play was the draw and pass to bring Tupou in.
Well, they were sliding, like you said. All they had to do was... Yeah, exactly. So...
Corey Thompson, oh baby, did he blow up deluxe? And I thought that was a little unwarranted.
I did, because I guarantee in the same position, Corey Thompson probably would have done the same thing. You had that white line fever. You think you're going to win it for your team.
All of a sudden you're getting tackled by two players, and then you're like, uh-oh, I think I've made the wrong decision here. And like you said, the flick out was amazing.
I don't know how the hell he got Thompson. That out.
Did he overrun it, or was he just too flat to begin with? I honestly thought
that he sort of, it looked like he just went, okay, well, he's not going to, this is game over. He's not going to be able to get this ball out. So he gave up personally, but then on the other side as a winger, the play wasn't over. So technically he should have been in a position to catch a ball a la Kyle Felt when he caught that miraculous flick out in that Cowboys grand final. So, you know,
you got to be ready for it.
So, the biggest thing in this game for me was Victor Radley's best game all year. He was remarkable in this game, Victor Radley. He's really, really good. He's a good player. I know he's a bit of a hothead and everything, but he's a provider. Like, he is that lock that can sort of, you know, honestly, I can think he size probably doesn't warrant it, but he can handle the ball pretty well as a 5'8", personally. Size doesn't warrant it, but, you know, he doesn't have the chops of the kicks, but he definitely has the chops of holding the ball and sort of holding the play up and making sort of line break assists and so forth like that. But he was good in this game. Really good.
He was one of the few that sort of had, you know, one of those, like, not to say that nobody had, you know, that everybody was awful, but... Yeah, like I guess sort of a starring role. You know, obviously Tedesco is always going to be, you know, that X factor that provides that little bit of spark. But it was unbelievable. Also, one of the other things that made the crowd erupt there as well was when Jared Wallace basically picked up a loose ball and was running. He was running towards our end in the first half. And he sort of made like probably about a 50, what a bit, it was about a 50 meter break, and then got cut down by Tedesco in the end. And everybody was a scream. I was screaming for Jared Wallace to get there, and you could see the fleet footed backs coming to. It's just like, hey, he's going to get beat.
he's going to get cut down. He was pretty good in this game too.
The good, bad, and the ugly. When players needed to, they stood up. But when they made mistakes, it was so deflating. You're like, oh my God, like they've just undone all the good work that they're doing, you know, up the other end with good hit ups and offloads and making good plays. And then all of a sudden they go and spoil it all by making simple mistakes.
And for him, I thought
everybody across the park.
for him, I thought it was, you know, as good as he was in this game, it was just a little bit too little too late. That's how it sort of come across in this game for him. So, look,
I think he would, he would have had a bit of a bee in his bonnet, especially in the second half of the season, that he never really got a crack at Origin. So,
probably still had effects of thinking like, oh, this team looks like Matt Lodge, so I'm just going to smash up.
Yeah, well, and that could be a little bit of motivation too.
I love it. So, look, you know, still okay win by Roosters. They'll come up against Manly this week.
If they put the ball down as much as they did and gift Manly possession, then Manly will put a score on.
Well, both these games are here in Mackay, and I'm going to both games. But I wouldn't, we don't really talk about. Well, we do talk about betting. What am I talking about? Of course, we talk about betting. $3.50 is for an outsider. It's not that bad. Like, again, Roosters haven't lost here. They did finish fifth. You know, if they can do what Melbourne did in nullifying Tom to avoid a bitch, then I wouldn't like completely rule them out like sports bet having $3.50.
I mean, they got the big boppers up front, but I think Taukeiaho is out for this game, mm-hmm. and Sam Verrills has been rubbed out through suspension, so that might sort of turn things in Manly's favour a little bit. I think they'll have something to prove, after being embarrassed by Melbourne on Friday. I think they'll have something to prove. So, you know, maybe take the line on for that one. I don't know. I wouldn't want to take the Roosters outright.
No. Again, both games here in Mackay was a sort of obviously a great advertisement. It's a great advertisement for NRL, you know, looking at regional, but it's good just having both games in Mackay. So, like, you know.
Oh, absolutely. To have the double header here in Townsville this past weekend was awesome. I was extremely disappointed at only the 18,000, 244 there. The Western Grandstand, which was, usually full of corporates and things like that, was extremely empty. Very disappointed in that. I was thinking 20 plus.
Well, I'm not comparing because it's completely different, but, you know, they've put extra grandstands here, and the 8,000 tickets were each sold out in literally sort of seconds. But
that's right.
Because we're thirsty, and that could be different. We could be just because we're thirsty for seeing NRL games too. So it's completely different.
I mean, it is up here too, like, you know, but this I get it. This is a Cowboys town. I understand that. But there's also 15 other supporter bases up here as well.
Well, that's exactly right.
Going to the game, look, there was a mix. A good mix of all four teams that were playing in this game. Obviously, people were in the Cowboys stuff as well. I even saw Melbourne jerseys. I saw Canberra jerseys. I saw St. George Illawarra jerseys. Like, all teams were being represented. I just thought it was a little disappointing that, you know, people had sort of come in and go, oh, because it was short notice and you know, because of COVID. Like, COVID it's just not an excuse. It's not an excuse up here. It's just not.
It wasn't really that.
We knew for 2 weeks. And is that short notice for some people? It might be. But I really thought they could have done a better job in giving away sponsor / corporate tickets to fill up the Western Grandstand. But it doesn't really matter because the cameras are on the Western Grandstand. So as long as they're getting an eye full of the Eastern Grandstand full, then that sort of gives you that illusion that it is a full stadium.
Exactly.
And it was very much from that. And all I could think of all game, like all Saturday, was how perfect it would be to have Magic Round up here. So good.
Yeah, I don't think that's going from Brisbane anytime soon, but
no, probably not. But we can all dream.
Well, you can. What did you think of the second game there? Then the Rabbitohs getting over the Panthers 16-10.
Super hard fought.
Yeah.
I thought Penrith sort of come out with a little bit more intent early, but once they were continually pushed away. And pushed away by the Rabbitohs' defense on, you know, inside their 20. I think scoreboard pressure became a real thing because let's face it, in the last 2 years, that hasn't really happened a lot to the Penrith Panthers, that they've been behind on the scoreboard and they haven't been able to get something, do you know what I mean, like in attack-wise. They only scored one try in this game.
Yeah, they
didn't
did.
Didn't score in the second half.
Yeah, they definitely did. And I thought, you mentioned it already, their defense for Rabbitohs completely
That was a steely, you know, that was a steel curtain as what I've seen defensive-wise from any team this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. They only got, it was, I guess, weird. You sort of see Penrith sort of, or even Cleary sort of, you know, perfectly nullify or manage that sort of game, and he really didn't, and he was playing from behind, I guess, and they weren't used to it.
And your boy Jerome Luai just provided nothing to help him out.
Just because he's from New South Wales, I don't like him. I've got no affiliation with him. Right. I'd take Matt Burton over him. Matt Burton's my boy. I love Matt Burton, but you're right.
That is a wonder kid as you can get.
Yeah, it is a wonder kid that you can get. Look.
And he was good in this game.
He was good. Yeah, he was. I'm telling you now, if Jerome Luai wasn't there, or something, you know, with something to Jerome Luai, Matt Burton would have a fat contract there and be there 5'8". He would be.
Yep. And that's going to be they'll be ruining that, I reckon.
I guarantee. Matt Burton I can already see, you know, Adekar's there, but Matt Burton will be the face of that Bulldog side. I know Matt Burton will be the face of that Bulldog side because he's proved that he can play in a lot of positions and be consistent. He's one of the most consistent players I've seen all year, personally, considering.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where you throw him.
Exactly. So, look, unfortunately, they didn't win this game.
Super fast game, too.
Well, exactly.
The speed was line speed, dummy half speed was, and that's what happens when you get two good teams in the finals.
And that's what I was going to say.
Intensity steps up.
What's it like seeing, because that's how it sort of looked even on the TV, what's it like seeing Abbey Coruscant and Damien Cook coming out of that sort of dummy half? Because it looks quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, Damien Cook's probably one of the fastest dummy halves going around, and Appy's probably not. He's a little bit more cagey, but the dummy half play from both of those, you know, always goes, it always goes hand in hand with a good game plan, good forward play, and a victory. And I thought Damien Cook, he's sort of come into some really good form at the end of this year.
Yeah, he has at the absolute perfect timing. And again, it wasn't, and then just the one sort of two combo, Adam Reynolds. Generally controls the game, but it felt like, you know, talking about, just, I guess, Wiley or Steel Cagey, Cody Walker controlled this game pretty well.
He was as dangerous as ever as well.
Yeah, he was. He was. He really was. I mean, he got a try, don't get me wrong, but he just, when he had the ball, he looked completely dangerous. He had the most tackle breaks. He felt like he was there most of the time, which is good. You know, that's what you want from
you want to be able to have somebody like that who can sort of take over rather than just having to rely on Adam Reynolds all the time. Do you know what I mean? You want somebody who's going to go out there and look out for the ball, who's going to take on the line and do what Cody Walker was doing in this game. Look, let's not forget that these teams met what, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and South looked totally overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And they turned the tide on it.
So was this just a Bennett masterclass in mind games? You know, we mentioned it before.
Seems to be turning out that way a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh my God! If you follow NRL, you would sort of know about it, I guess. But the I just love Bennett. Bennett knows exactly what to say, when to say it. I don't like Bennett though, personally, but he's so good at these games. He's the king of these games. But essentially, he said privately, he questioned, you know, the blockers and all that that's happening in the Panthers game. He questioned the referees. obviously then Panthers got wind of it because, of course, you know, the referee going to tell.
Well, it ended up making its way into the media cycle.
Correct. But then I'm assuming Brennan sort of played this well because then Cleary's come out publicly and then discussed about why Brennan's sort of looking at it. And then I'm assuming Brennan would have been just sitting there licking his lips and saying, and you could hear it in the post conference saying, "Well,
gotcha.
I didn't come out publicly. I did what all coaches do. I question, and you know, and he's right. All coaches question, you know, during games and all that, or gets clarification on certain things like this. You know, he said, so you'll have to ask Cleary. And it was hilarious.
It's a classic case of gotcha.
It was a classic case. I don't think it necessarily put the Panthers off. I played a little bit better personally.
Yeah, I think, you know, whether or not it sort of, yeah, gave South, I don't know, that little bit extra motivation. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, South were totally overwhelmed by Penrith and didn't look very good at all. And, you know, for them to sort of, you know, flip the script and put this sort of performance on you win this and you get yourself a nice, fat, healthy week off and you go into the grand final qualifier and essentially for Penrith shoots them over to the other side of the draw, which means next week they've got the Parramatta Eels, but then they have the Melbourne Storm awaiting for them.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there had been putting a bet on a replay of last year's grand final, that has just totally gone up in smoke.
So, yeah, no, exactly.
It's not to
exactly
say that I did that, but I'm just saying anybody, I think a lot of people would have been talking about
it. We said it. We didn't bet it. We did bet on it, but we're definitely saying that's how it seems to turn out. So
that's totally gone now, isn't it?
It's totally gone now. So it'll be, we keep both saying Melbourne. It'll be interesting to see then, you know, would it be what, say, we'll finish on the last game, but it'll be essentially Melbourne versus versus Seagulls or Roosters. Penrith or Eels, and the Rabbitohs versus Roosters or Manly, essentially. So, God, that's tantalising, those semi-finals. Not these ones here in Mackay. These next ones could be, you know.
The grand final qualifiers will be, they'll be something else. Look, they thought, could be. The only criticism, I guess, that you could say of the Rabbitohs is why they didn't try and ice the game in the last 10 minutes because they had multiple opportunities inside the Penrith 30-metre line to just dink over a field goal and boom, game's over. You've got a dead eye in Adam Reynolds taking field goals.
Cody Walker signed them for New South Wales. So
I just thought that they wasted a few opportunities to try and really ice the game. And look, I understand the other side of the ledger is, you know, you missed the field goal, you give Penrith a seven tackle shot. You've got to back yourself because there was a lot of times where they'd sort of attack down the left hand side with Cody Walker and, you know, running the ball. And I understand it, but it's a finals game. You've held the Panthers to 0 points in the second half. You've got to back your defense, which has been unbelievable all game.
Yeah.
Even if you miss the field goal attempt, I just thought they did a poor job of trying to set up for a field goal inside that last 10 minutes to really put a nice little bow on this game to have to make Penrith score twice.
Because it's
16-10, it's still anybody's game. You put it out to 17-10, then the real scoreboard pressure gets put on Penrith, desperation kicks in, and you can really force mistakes in that regard.
So the final game was the last elimination game, and that was the Eels getting over the Newcastle Knights 28-20.
Yeah, decent crowd there at Brown Park and in Rocky.
Kind of what you got to fit there, kind of thing. But it was good. Good win. Yeah. Good sort of, you know, good atmosphere-ish kind of thing.
Hell yeah. And for them to sort of squeeze, you know, 5,000 or so people in there is pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. So
I think also there was a nice uh, a nice, lovely breeze that was blowing in favor of Newcastle, especially as Parramatta kicked the ball off, as they kicked the ball out on the full on the opening kickoff, and basically Newcastle just scores in the first minute, and it's like, oh, all right, this game's just sort of got interesting from the get go.
It was breezy here. So what? We're 3 hours from
it's
Rocky.
It's been breezy all up and down the east all coast. It sort of died off. It's died off a little bit, but the last 3 weeks have been a nice easterly breeze, you know, coming in from the ocean. But that seems to have died off a little bit as of late. But this isn't a weather podcast. But
hey, you got it, mate. It helps in games. Trust me, it helps in games sometimes. So
well, that's right. And it was definitely a factor in this game.
Well, it was, because not so much obviously the tries. Like, there was plenty of tries. There was the conversions, and that was the factor in this game. That was definitely the factor in this game.
Yes, it's come down to kicking a few times. Mitchell Pearce sort of a little bit too strong off the boot, and the ball's gone dead. It happened to Clifford a bit. It happened to Moses as well. So it was definitely a factor there. You know, obviously I could only assume it would have been a nice hard track there at Brown Park as well. So, you know, the ball would have skipped off the ground pretty easily. But
I'm pretty sure it's not called Brown Park for a reason. It
looked kind of green, but I'm sure it's plenty brown in the summer.
Sorry, go ahead. You're right.
Oh, no, I just thought Parramatta did well to sort of really fight back from that. And I thought their forwards, as the game went on, just their physicality really sort of took a lot of sting out of Newcastle, attack and defense. I thought Sheriff Campbell Gillard was unbelievable. I mean, good God, like, all you have to do is just put a couple of six shooters on him, a cowboy hat, and he would fit right in and Back to the Future 3.
It's a mustache, isn't it?
Oh, it's gigantic. How good is it?
It's massive. I know.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, it doesn't seem to care about it.
He's definitely going for that 1800 sheriff look.
Oh, mate, they're friggin'. I don't get mustaches. Mustaches.
I mean his Mad Monday, when it happens, his Mad Monday costume is so easy.
It's mustaches just seem to be everywhere at the moment. And I'm talking like 20-year-olds and all that. I don't know. I don't get it. Not like beards, probably because they can't grow beards, but like mustaches.
That's a distinct possibility as well.
They can't grow beards. well, yeah, possibly, you know. I agree. Like, I thought Papalehi, who still might end up getting rookie, you know, technically rookie. Well, not rookie, but I guess buy of the year is probably the best way.
Oh, you know, he's definitely up there for buy of the year.
Has been sort of quiet in the last few games, but he aimed up in this game. You know,
he was a good injection off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, sort of people had questioned the moving of him onto the bench and putting Sean Lane into the starting second row start this game. So I didn't mind it, but for 90% of this year, you know, Isaiah Papali'i has been that starting second rower. So it was a strange choice for Brad Arthur to sort of come out and do that, especially in an elimination final.
It seems to be a theme. I mean, look at the last game. Tommy Burgess coming on, you know, for 40 minutes and getting 200 meters. It seems to be if you just have these impact players coming off the bench. Like, you know, it's like Fifita's and Holbrook sort of, you know, started this trend, so to speak. Because, you know, we didn't say it before, Burgess was awesome off the bench at 200 meters.
Oh, yeah. Burgess has been off the bench for probably a lot of the second half of this season.
But, yeah, maybe they've tapped into like a formula. Like, and I'm talking the Titans tapped into a formula. I mean, but maybe it's more glaringly obvious and maybe everyone's doing it, but it's probably more glaringly obvious at Gold Coast purely because, you know, you're paying someone so much money and then coming off the bench.
You mean all the men there.
We've both already said about this. We don't care that get paid what he wants. He comes off the bench. He's still going to play the minutes, so who cares? So we've both said that.
Exactly. Look, the handling by both teams in this game, especially to start off was immaculate. Mm. You know, it died off a little bit. The first mistake in this game didn't come till the 31st minute.
Yeah, the error rate was pretty good considering.
That was crazy. When they said that Parramatta dropped the ball, and it's like, that's the first error of this game. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I think Newcastle were 12 for 12. And, yeah, before that mistake, Parramatta were, I think they were 13 for 13 or 14 for 14, something like that. It was crazy.
They were both under double digits for eight errors apiece. So
yeah, that's
good.
And it's bound to happen. Like, you know, teams aren't going to continue on that sort of run. But
not getting over double digits is awesome. You usually sort of hover around that 13, 14, 15. Yeah. Eight apiece is great. So
yeah. I guess the breaking point or the tipping point in this game was Parramatta going back-to-back tries just before halftime.
Yeah.
That just blew the doors of this game wide open. And I guess a Newcastle side throughout the middle of the year probably would have crumbled, but they've actually been playing all right towards the end of the season. And that didn't really sort of get them down. I thought they had a good middle part of the second half.
Yeah, they got a couple of tries.
To really get back in this game and only be down 2 points.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, they... You know, it ended up being too much of a climb sort of towards the end, but you are right. Like they
look, the Ponga to Tuala combination seemed to work on the left hand side pretty well.
Or twofold.
Two amazing cutout balls by him to put Tuala over in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did work twofold because he got those two tries. He got a nice two tries. So but just that little bit, I guess, for Newcastle, that little bit too much to sort of climb. And that's sort of how I guess it's sort of been their season a little bit. I mean, we'll review a lot of these teams later.
And I guess it's sort of it ends in a little bit of sort of controversial fashion with the last try to Pennacini, where it was basically called a penalty try as he was sort of getting through the line. The kick had gone through and that man, Irani Tuala, to me, I would call it a brain explosion that he's tried to grab him. Like, it's pretty clear that he's nowhere near the ball. He's not going to get the ball, but Tuala has grabbed him, pulled him down.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, with 5 meters to go, a rugby league football can do anything. I still think with that much to go, and it might not seem a lot, but 5 meters is 5 meters. For them to still blow a penalty try, I thought might have been a little bit rich. But you know, they did it in the end. That they had deemed it being a fairly clear cut try scoring opportunity. As Tuala pulled Pennacini back, and they awarded a penalty try.
What's more, I guess, not ridiculous, but what's weird to me about that is if you're going to name it a penalty try, which they've done, technically he should have been in the bin. Technically, I'm surprised they didn't call that at all. So
usually, I think they sort of they either go one way or the other. They'll either deem it as a like it happened in the Gold Coast Roosters game. They'll deem it as a professional foul, and if they don't give it a penalty try, then you'll go to the bin like Peachy did.
Yeah,
if they
fair.
Do give it a penalty try, you've been, I guess, sufficiently punished.
Punishment enough.
Which is, it's kind of contradictory, isn't it? Like, you know, it's,
yeah.
You see, they still haven't scored, have they? Like I said, you know, football can do anything. You can dribble on the ground, bounce up and hit you in the face.
You're probably right. It's probably punishment enough, possibly. So,
you know, it's basically a guaranteed 6 points.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So that's the
ended
season.
Ended up deciding the game, really, because that was 22-20 at that point.
It did. It ended up deciding the game. It did. I mean, it did. I mean, I thought that's sort of how, in my head, it was going to play out. I didn't think Newcastle had enough, I guess, not fight, but sort of, I didn't think they had another try in them, at least to sort of wrestle it back. It didn't seem to come across it. Yes, they did score those two tries in the middle, but it didn't seem towards the end that they were looking for. It didn't seem like they were looking for the jugular, personally.
No, and look, I thought this might have been a little bit sort of a lower scoring game. I took the unders on both teams on their point scoring. So I think Parramatta was like 24.5, so I took the under on that. and Newcastle were like 17 and a half. So I took the under on that. And obviously they both went the overs. So that was a kind of a disappointing outcome in that one. I didn't think Newcastle had 20 points in them, to tell you the truth.
No, you're right. And that's actually probably true. No, the other one I kind of would have thought, yeah, maybe you'd go the overs, but Newcastle at 17.5, I could sort of see, yes, going that under. So you are right. You know, 20 points isn't what Newcastle generally do in games.
And you wouldn't think it to see it, considering they finished seventh on the ladder. They had the second worst attack in the league, last to only the Bulldogs.
Really? Wow. That's scary. Hence your overs for it. Yeah, for sure. Your unders for it, I should say. It definitely makes total sense. That's two of your, I don't know what to call them. You've got obviously one favorite team, but your that's two of your
two teams that sort of that sit quite close to me. So.
That's a little disappointing to see them both get kicked to the curb. So I wasn't really under any illusions that were going to go through.
For the Gold Coast to go at the way they did was a little bit of a heartbreaker, but I kind of expected this one on Sunday.
Start of the week for you?
I mean, we said it earlier. Clinical.
Yeah. I don't know how you go past it. You can't. That's it. There's nothing else to say. Melbourne Storm, clinical. That's it. Done. Easy. That's two stars easy.
I think that's pretty easy.
No one else proved it. No one else in this weekend proved that they deserved it. Honestly. No. So... well, this will be interesting then. What about your dud of the week?
Well, that's right. In that previous game, I stomped all over it with Irani Tuala. I thought that was just a total brain explosion when the game was on the line.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, he doesn't have a lot of finals experience or anything or that. It's unforgivable.
Mine sort of, I get it and everything like that. I guess mine, and you mentioned it, and it's sort of going off base, but I kind of was disappointed with the crowd that was in for two semifinals in Townsville.
No, absolutely.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what you think, but it was a Charles Barkley terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was just, yeah, it, you know, I thought, and you don't have to sort of talk about pricing and everything like that, but I'm assuming it would have been fairly comparable for people to sort of go.
It cost just as much as what it would to go to a normal Cowboys game.
There you go. So, and these are two semifinals.
I got my tickets for $35.
Yeah, okay. Which unfortunately is not what we're going to pay, 35 each or 35 total?
No, 35 each.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. That's better what we're paying
two
here.
Games.
We sold it out here. We're paying 60 and 55 here, so each.
Ouch.
So, but, you know,
look, in the next bay over, it went up to $60. I failed to see the point of that because it wasn't really that sort of different a perspective. So I didn't really sort of worry about that too much. But it even in the bottom section of the top tier in that stadium, it's just not a bad seat in the house.
I don't know. You can, no way. No, not at all. So,
and like you said, I still thought that they could have done a lot better corporate sponsor wise to try and get a few more people there. Bums on seats.
Look, technically, see, the timing wasn't that great too because I also heard
too that there was a lot of footy finals and stuff like that going on in the area as well. But so only, that sort of might have.
Interestingly enough, only senior league, junior league, like you could have done it here. Like, you know, junior league just finished the week before. You could have got
junior league's finished here.
You could have gave junior league money, you know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, now I think about it, they could have filled that out. You know,
I just, my expectations was 20,000.
Give junior league, you know, they could have gave them, you know, tickets, cheap tickets or anything like that.
Like 20 bucks, like even in the northern and southern stands, like tickets were like $26. That's as cheap as you're going to get in the new stadium.
Which, yeah.
They're good seats. Like, oh, yeah, I was in the northern stand for the Broncos game, and they're good seats.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I mean, it looks nice. It's two teams. See, this is why I went, because it's two teams that you don't get to see. Like, you always get to see the Cowboys, or even if they come here, it's always the Cowboys, always the Broncos. These are teams.
That's right. It's four supporter bases that are up here, and the fact that it's a final, one of them an elimination final. Like, get out and support the team.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. No, I thought the same thing, but that was
why. That's me. Maybe that's just my mentality of you know, I'd rather show my support by letting my ass do the walking and go and get your ass to the game, get in the seats, be there.
We'll be there this weekend. We brought 10 tickets each. Oh, sorry. Not 10 tickets each. Maybe we might as well take it the whole grandstand. Sorry, 10 tickets in total for 10 each tickets. Night.
What are you doing? Selling them on Marketplace or something?
Yeah, shush. Oh, no.
For an inflated price.
No, 10 tickets for each night is how I should have finished that. So that should be good, those two semis. So that'll be...
Oh, yeah, that'll be good.
Manly, the Roosters, and Eels... Oh my God, Eels versus
Panthers.
I think they're both sort of, both will be good games. Both teams, you know, pretty close to each other. Obviously, the Western sort of side, the Penrith Parramatta will be probably a bit more.
A little bit more rivalry in that game. A little bit of a Western Sydney rivalry there, but. Look, yeah, both of those two games should be good. I think that Penrith will be I think not a little bit too strong. I think they'll be way too strong for Parramatta. I think that they played the game of their life a couple of weeks ago when they beat Melbourne. I don't think they can sort of the blueprint is there, but I don't think they'll be able to replicate that sort of. Yeah, that sort of effort again. I'd think that that Penrith will win that quite comfortably. The other game, I think, is a toss of the coin.
I think so. Yeah,
I'd take either or at 1-12. Either or at 1-12.
Okay. Don't know. I don't see
any team blowing. If anything, it'd be Manly that will blow out the Roosters, but I don't see either team sort of being a blowout. And you could be totally wrong. The Roosters have got, you know, those two key outs in Verrills and Taukeiaho. I think that will hurt them.
I think it will, but they could, you know, like anything, they could be buoyed by a win. Manly could be still lingering from that big loss too. So, you know, again, I mentioned it before, the Roosters haven't technically lost here in Mackay at all this year. And I don't think at all, if I have to go way back, but haven't technically lost in Mackay. So that could be a part as well. They might have Manly haven't been here before. So, you know, it could be simple little game plans or something that they're doing during, you know, however it sort of works for them. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting. Toss of the coin. You kind of sort of say Manly, but it's a toss of the coin, definitely.
Yeah, I'd say the big guns for both teams will step up in this game. But I can't wait to see Tom Pavlovich live.
My God.
Well, yeah, that's right.
As long as he plays.
Oh my God! I only watched him less than 2 weeks ago up here, just frigging annihilate the Cowboys up here, you know, in a bit of a second half rout. So yeah, seeing him live and live in colour is something else.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I think that will wrap it up, I guess, for this week's first NRL Finals Week 1 podcast. As always, socials are Facebook Final Play Podcast and Twitter @FinalPlayPod. always get our podcast everywhere, especially gimco.com.au.
Yeah, check them out. Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. Yeah, check out the guys at Gimco. They've just done the NFL. Yeah.
How did you
go? Week one was this weekend, and some doozies this weekend, some upsets, and they had an NFL break on last week. I still haven't watched the break yet, but I was in that, so didn't end up getting my boys. I got the football team, so we'll see what comes in the mail, but hopefully I'll have a little bit of spare time in the next day or so to try and get in and watch that. Always like watching the breaks, even though I don't generally get to watch them live. But yeah, always like watching the breaks on YouTube and checking out. Always, you know, Dom always gives us a shout out, so it's only fair that we give those guys a shout out on here as well. I think AFL Supremacy, I think they're going gangbusters down in Victoria at the moment. Lots of people getting on to the new product that's out. NRL Elite is out at the moment as well. So yeah, they're always sort of good. You're seeing lots of stuff out there for sale with NRL Elite, and obviously the NFL will be featured, and the NBA as well. Even though the NBA season is in the off season at the moment, there's always still NBA Fridays that always sell out rather quick. And yeah, like I said, the NFL will be very prominent over the next 17 or 18 weeks or so while we get into the regular season. So yeah, check those guys out. Always terrific value. So, and always, you know, a good sort of wide range of products and stuff too. I don't know how they do it. How they get the good stuff. Oh boy, they get the good stuff. And it's always, you know, cheaper than you expect. So it's terrific. I love it.
I guarantee you that'd be a lot of hours, a lot of staying up. A lot of work would get put into it. So like anything, but I'm sure a lot of work gets put into that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're give countless. The value to them, of course, but they obviously then pass the value on. So.
Yeah, that's right. Countless, you know, personal hours by a lot of those, especially Mojo King and you know, and Dom. Yeah, you know, Dom's got a job. You know, Mojo King. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he works for Select. Everybody's got a job. So, for them to be putting in, you know, the countless hours that go into setting up the breaks and doing the breaks and everything of that is just a Herculean effort, and you know, is always appreciated, and definitely always appreciated by us.
Well, my name's Jason. Bring on week two final Smith.
Yeah, I'm Miles. This podcast was presented by Maker's Mark Plum. So,
It was. Must be. It definitely was both of us.
That seems to be a clear glass there. What's going on?
Well, it was full about, you know, 20 minutes ago. But the taste got to me. So, anyway.
It's too much Coke.
Yeah, too much Coke, not enough Maker's Mark. So, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.